words fill a page, pages fill a chapter, chapters fill a book. Every decision, big and small, writes the story of your life. Unfortunately, some people leave portions of their story unwritten. Sometimes that's why you need to go ahead and take the risk. My story, I decided to go.
Well, good morning, Waterfront. It's good to see you all. If you didn't catch it earlier, if you don't know me, my name's Dave. I'm one of our lead servants here at Waterfront, and we're finishing a series today that we've been working on for the last 3 weeks that's called My Story. And what Jim's been sharing with all of you is this idea that our God is the author of our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this: "Let us set our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." The life that you're living is the story that God is scripting for you. Just such a powerful way, I think, to imagine life as the main character of your story, in your everyday just making choices and shaping the plot and creating the drama. There's a phrase that we've been repeating over the last 3 weeks, and it goes like this: the decisions that you make today will determine the stories that you tell tomorrow. The decisions that you make today, those decisions determine the stories that you're going to tell tomorrow. When I was a kid, I used to read these books. Tell me if you guys read this. You're familiar with this. Choose Your Own Adventure books. Just a show of hands. Anybody ever read those? It may just be people in my generation. I don't know. But I loved those books when I was a kid. They were great. They were kind of told from like a second-person perspective. And so as you read it, it's like you're actually in the story as you're reading it. And it's like, so you went down to the cave and walked through. And so it's like kind of telling it as if you're part of it. And then you would get to a certain part in the story where you would have to make a decision. And it would say, if you want to go, let's say you're like walking through a cave, it would say, if you want to turn right, then turn to page 59. And if you want to go left, turn to page 26. And then you go, and depending on what, you know, place that you went to or what decision that you were making, then that would determine what your story would be. You would choose your own adventure. And it's not too dissimilar, I think, just from our own kind of real life stories. When you go out and you tell your story to people, most of the time there's a moment or there's a decision that sent your life down the path and on the trajectory that you're on. There's a habit that you decided to start. You'd say, you know what, I decided to start going to church. I decided to start reading my Bible. I decided to start working out. I decided to start back going to school. For some of you, it's a habit that you wanted to break. It's something that you wanted to stop. So you said, one day I decided to stop complaining. I decided to stop gossiping. I decided to stop overeating. I decided to stop, you know, whatever that addiction was that had a hold of me in my life. For some of you, some of them are moments when it would have been easier to quit and just kind of throw in the towel and say, okay, I'm done with this, but you decided to stay. And you say, I decided to stay at my job. I decided to stay in that marriage. I decided to stay with my friendships. I decided to stay at that church. And today we're kind of looking at this big last decision point that oftentimes just in people's lives we sometimes encounter. It's another big fork in the road kind of decision moment. Every once in a while, people decide that it's time to go. And as we kind of shared a little bit earlier, most of you know by now, this is a message that hits pretty close to home for me. I announced a few weeks ago that I'm stepping away from my position at Waterfront. And actually, next Sunday is going to be my last Sunday, but I'm just going to be sitting doing nothing. So it's like the way that it should be, you know? So next Sunday is going to be my last Sunday on staff. And so my story is really, it's kind of being written around this decision point right now in our lives. And it's kind of an interesting drama and narrative that we're kind of scripting out as we go. The funny thing is, that's, you know, when we plan to teach this message, we planned this message well before I ever made this decision. So it was a little awkward as we were approaching this week, saying like, so how are we going to kind of approach this? But as we prayed about it, we sort of felt like this might be an appropriate message for me to come up and teach about, just to share the things that we think that God's laying on our hearts, the ups and the downs of the journey and all that. But also, what I'm hoping is that maybe I can just encourage you guys for what's coming up in the future, in our future as well as your future. Because I'm in the middle of this very difficult, you know, hard decision. It's been an emotional journey for us. But they're also going to be big, risky, hair-raising moments for this church and for some of you personally, maybe sooner than later. And my encouragement for you in those moments is just this. Sometimes the best decision, the best decision that you can make is to go when it would be easier to stay. Sometimes the best decision that you can make is to go when it would be easier to stay. Just a little story from Scripture. Jesus and his disciples, they're on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. It's a stinking miracle. I mean, like with five loaves of bread, two fish, you know, it's this amazing thing that he does. And now he tells the disciples, he says, okay, I want you guys to hop in your boats, and I want you to go, like, head out away from the shore for a little bit. Except Jesus doesn't join them. He decides he wants a little alone time. He wants to pray, and so he stays on the shore. Now, in the course of the night, the boat, it drifts pretty far away from the shore. And so by the time that Jesus decides he wants to go hook up with his boys again, the boys are pretty far off. And so Jesus decides he wants to go out to meet them. Now, does he swim out to see them? No. Does he take a dinghy out to see them? No. He walks on the dang water, okay? I mean, he just gets onto the lake and just kind of like, you know, takes a little jaunt out onto the lake. It's an amazing thing. And the disciples, I mean, they've seen Jesus do incredible stuff before, but this is like the full pot of chili. You got Jesus walking on the, it's like, it's, whoa, he's walking, can you believe this? This is crazy, it's so crazy. They don't even realize that it's Jesus at first. They think it's a ghost that's like hovering over the sea, and Jesus is like, don't worry, boys, just me, it's all right. And then Peter, he's one of the disciples, good old Peter, okay, this is the same guy who on the one hand, the night that Jesus was arrested and betrayed, Peter pulls a sword out of his sheath and he slices a dude's ear off on the one hand. And then on the other hand, when a 12-year-old girl accuses him of being a Christ follower, he like runs away scared, okay? So he's like that kind of a guy. This is the kind of Peter we're talking about. He's sort of like that friend that you grew up with who just like, he just does stuff, okay? Just kind of leaps before he thinks, you know? Like I had this friend when I was growing up, his name was Trent. When I was like 13 years old, I went over to his house one day, opened up the door, and something just looked different about them. And I couldn't put my finger on what it was, and then I realized that Trent, it didn't have any eyebrows. I said, what happened to your eyebrows? He said, I shaved them off. And eyebrows, it takes like 2 or 3 months to grow back. I'm like, why'd you do that? And I still remember this just look of regret on his face. He's like, I don't know. And Trent's a youth pastor now. It's a big surprise, right? Anyways, that's Peter, okay? Peter's just the guy, he just does stuff, okay? And so Jesus is walking out to the boat, Jesus walking on water toward him, and Peter says this, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out onto the water with you, okay? And imagine like the disciples at this moment sitting, they're just, you know, rolling their eyes. Oh, there goes Peter again, you know, writing checks, his tail can't cash, you know? And I wonder if Peter might have been just a little bit surprised when Jesus looks back at him from the water and he says this, okay, come. Come. Now, just put yourself into Peter's shoes for a moment. Because remember, this is the middle of the night. So it's dark outside. The story tells us that it was actually kind of stormy that night. And so the wind's blowing. The waves are rolling. Life jackets haven't been invented yet, I'm guessing, you know. Like, jumping into that lake, I mean, this is not just scary. This is a very dangerous thing. He'd be taking his life into his hands. Stepping out of that boat for Peter meant that Peter was stepping away from his security. It meant that Peter was stepping away from his comfort. It meant that he was taking an enormous leap of faith. And for every person in this room, there will be defining moments like this in your life, where you're kind of standing at a point of decision, When you're in a place in your life that's comfortable, that's safe, that's secure, your family is well provided for, your income is steady, you've got a great network of friends, the status quo is safe, and you get just this little nudge to get out of the boat. It's that little nudge that just, you know, tells you to go talk to that person that you're supposed to talk to, even though you know it's going to be really uncomfortable. It's that nudge to give a little extra, even though it's going to be really, really stretching financially. It's that nudge to kind of pursue that dream and that thing that you've been passionate about and one thing you've wanted to do, but you know it's going to mean a big change to your lifestyle and a lot of risks. It's a nudge to move somewhere, to venture into the unknown. And when I think back to my story, I've experienced several moments like that just along the way, moments where I was comfortable and felt very secure in where I was. And then it was sort of like just God was nudging me to do something else and to take a risk. When I was 21 years old, I was in college. I was a very new Christian at that point. Maybe I'd been a Christian for really a Christ follower for maybe 3 or 4 months. And I felt called to do this summer mission trip. There's a number of Christians I started becoming friends with. They were doing summer mission trips, and I thought, well, that sounds like something maybe I should do. And so I started kind of pursuing that, looking into that. I was taking Japanese in college. And so I thought, maybe I should go to Japan. And I didn't realize at that time that there are big, like, mission organizations and things like groups of people that do this and people who do this kind of thing, like, professionally in groups that, like, head over there. And so I just, like, you know, I just decided I'm just going to contact a I just emailed a random missionary. I found his name in the library, and I told him about myself, and I said, hey, my name's Dave, I can go to Texas A&M, and can I come stay with you this summer? And he's like, sure, come on over. So 2 months later, I was on a plane flying to Japan by myself, and I lived with this missionary and his family for like 2 months in Japan, and it was total risk and totally crazy. It didn't make any sense, but that was the place where God kind of told me I was going to be a pastor, and I decided to dedicate my life to ministry that summer. The first time I ever preached was in Hachi Honmatsu, Japan. And they didn't understand it. No, we had like a translator or something, but looking back, I mean, it's crazy. It was crazy. A few years later, I had another tough choice to make. I was living in Texas, and it's my hometown, and my family was there, and I had a job, and was serving at this church. It's a church that I had grown up going to, and a very comfortable environment for me, but I'd been accepted to seminary in Colorado, and it was a great opportunity, but I didn't know anybody there. I'd only lived in Texas my whole life, you know? That's pretty much where my whole life was. I did college in Texas, but I remember just agonizing over this decision to leave because it was scary. It was scary, but, you know, I felt like God was calling me to Colorado, and so I went. And I'm glad that I did. I met some of my best friends there. I learned so much in seminary about what it meant to do ministry and to be a pastor. I was on staff at a wonderful church there for 5 years, exactly what I needed at that time of my life. And I loved Colorado. I mean, they've got mountains. It's beautiful. And I'll tell you what, when I was there and I started to kind of get this nudge that I needed to leave Colorado, I fought God pretty hard on that, especially when it started to become clear that he was leading me to Chicago. Like, I would tell my friends, you know, that I was going to be moving to Chicago, and they'd be like, why would you leave Colorado to go to Chicago? Like, do you know what the winters are like there? And I'd say, no. You know, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't have a job. I only knew two people in this whole, like, Chicagoland area. And then I moved here, and I'd tell people I came from Colorado, and they'd be like, why did you leave Colorado to come to Chicago? Don't you know what the winters are like here? I'm like, no, I have no idea. It's like, they're all saying, like, we're trying to move from Chicago to Colorado, where you're doing the opposite. Just didn't make a lot of sense on a lot of levels. But let me tell you why I think God got me out of that boat some 7.5 years ago. To leave what was comfortable, to leave what was secure and what was beautiful, a place where I was connected, and to come here. And I think the reason was is that there was a story that was called Waterfront Community Church. And God wanted to write that story. And for whatever reason, and God's wisdom and his grace and his love, he wanted me to be a part of that story. And I count it as such a blessing in my life that he did that, because I've met so many just amazing friends here. I've created such an awesome community here. Lifelong friends have made great memories. I mean, I'm always going to remember waking up at 4:30 in the morning and driving up from Aurora up to Schaumburg and picking up this trailer that's back here now in the parking lot, and it's been parked there for about 5 years. But we used to get there and drag that thing behind my Texas pickup truck all the way over to Schaumburg High School and set up church, and we would be, wheeling all the, the boxes and stuff upstairs. Greg Von Dom was out there with me, and Glenn Volkamer, and we'd be wheeling these boxes into this church down the long hallway. There's a couple mornings when it was so cold outside that, the trailer door was frozen to it. It was frozen shut, and it took us like a half hour just to get in. We almost, we thought we had to cancel church a couple of times because we couldn't get the trailer open. I remember Lonnie Johnson making a run one morning. I saw him running through the hallway. He's running from the nursery over to the teacher's lounge at Schaumburg High School. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I got to put these baby wipes in the microwave because it's like a brick of ice. I've been sitting down in this trailer all week. I got to wipe a baby down." I remember his wife, Nancy. You might not know this. We took a mission trip. We went to the Philippines. And I still remember Nancy on a zip line in the Philippines. It crossed over this huge valley and over this like lake and a volcano. The safety level was a little suspect in third world, but I had convinced her somehow to get onto the zip line. And I just remember as she's zipping along, just yelling murderous threats at me, "I'm gonna kill David." And it got quieter and quieter as she disappeared. I remember Sherry Mueller at a church picnic that we're at, and we're playing some game. You remember the game where you got the bat and you put it on the ground and you spin around the bat and then you get dizzy and then you're trying to race somebody to the finish line? And Sherry got up from that and started racing, and she ate it hard. I mean, she ate it really hard. It was one of those where everybody around just had this gasp, like, and then we saw Sherry and she's rolling on the floor laughing, and so everybody just lost it. And then it turned out she like went to the emergency room and nobody knew. She just disappeared to go to the hospital, and we felt bad about that. But at the moment, it was great. I remember our first baptism service. There was a family at our church. We just set up a portable baptism in their home, and my wife got baptized there before we were, dating or even, considering that. I remember the first time that I heard Don Edwards sing. I remember the first time I heard Vic play the guitar. For both of them, this was the first time that they had used their gifts that God had given them in a very long time. And it was so beautiful to hear that expressed in worship in front of all of you. And I've had the privilege and the experience of just living life with so many of you guys. Baptizing many of you, discipling some of you, leading some of you guys in worship, teaching you and doing counseling. I've had the privilege of working with Jim and John Engel and Greg Eichelberger and John McDavid and Cindy O'Donnell, so many other people, and learning so much from all these amazing men and women. And I've been able to see God grow this church and turn it into something that's just spectacular. I've watched God grow in me. And I met my wife here. On the second day, I saw her, from the stage. I started my family here. People who've been around here for a little while will sometimes tell me there was a Dave 1.0 and now there's a Dave 2.0, because I've just changed so much over the last 7 years, physically and spiritually and emotionally and in all these ways. And I owe all of that credit to what God has done to me through this community. And that's what makes this current season for us so difficult. Because we love this place. Our community is here. We're comfortable here. We're safe and secure. And through much prayer, we're convinced that God's calling us to get out of the boat. And it's really hard because it's kind of scary getting out of the boat. I love how the rest of Peter's story goes, because he gets out of the boat, and then he's actually walking on the water with Jesus. He's on the surface of the water, not sinking. He's on the surface of the water, walking with Jesus. But then this is what happens. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And I can so identify with that moment, because there are times when I've taken that leap of faith, and then 3 months later, I've like thought to myself, what did I do? I take it all back and like ready for the DeLorean to show up so I can go back in time and change it all. But I love what Jesus does. He says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. He says, "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And see, Jesus makes it just disgustingly simple here. The best place that you can be is wherever it is that God's telling you to go. Best place that you can be is wherever it is that God's calling you to go. The best place that you can be is wherever it is that God's calling you to go. You want to be where God's got you by the hand, even if it's over the water. And I know, you know, as we talk about this, like clearly hearing the voice of God and the will of God, and it's all very tricky, and that's for another message. But some of you guys, you know where God's telling you to go and what he's telling you to do. You know. Because God's been laying this on your heart for a very long time. You know. And my encouragement is this. It may be a crazy thing that God's calling you to do. It may look scary. It may be way out of the boat. But the best place that you can be is wherever it is that God's telling you to go. The decisions that you make today, they're going to determine the stories that you tell tomorrow. And nobody's telling the story of the time that I played it safe. No one tells the amazing story of the time I stayed in the boat. No one tells the story of the time that I didn't ask the girl out. No one tells the story of the time I didn't go on the mission trip or write the book or start the small group or adopt those kids or interview for that job or give to that cause or go out and share my faith, because your stories are told and built on the moments that are lived on the edge, demonstrating faith, letting God lead you out into uncharted waters, uncharted territory. That's where every important figure in the Bible was living, in those sink or swim moments when you're just totally out of the boat and God's got you by the hand and he's just kind of leading you along. And I've seen so many times during my time here at Waterfront that's where that's happened, and there's nobody that I think has lived that kind of life with more passion and more courage, honestly, than Jim. Jim's a guy who lives outside of the boat, okay? Like, sometimes getting back in the boat is hard. 7 years ago, when he and I were talking about planting this church and starting this church, I remember talking to him about, you know, when we were going to launch this church, and we're making plans and all this stuff. And a lot of church plants, when you start, it takes like a year-long process of planning and all this stuff. He's like, "I think we can do it in 8 months." And I'm like, "Whoa, okay, here we go. Buckle your safety belts, you know." And we were off and running, and we were just kind of writing the book on this whole financial model and what this was going to look like. We were operating on a shoestring budget and being creative and trying to figure this whole thing out. We're wearing holes in our shoes, hanging 150,000 door hangers all over the city of Schaumburg. You know, most people would like mail postcards, but like we were doing it on the cheap. And so we're going to hang door hangers, you know, and that's what we're doing. We're living church on the edge. And there were so many moments along the way where I felt like we were way out there on the limb, and it would get a little scary. And then I would just get this little reminder from God, "Why do you doubt? You're just following me where I told you to go." And if you're not on that journey yet, I want to invite you to be on that journey. Some of you, you've got some important, risky calls to make for yourselves personally. God's calling you to go. And you need to move. It's time for you to pursue that dream. It's time to go out and fulfill your passion. This church, Waterfront, is going to have some crazy out-of-the-boat moments coming sooner than later. Many of you know that there's a possible move in the works where we might potentially leave our Sunday location, maybe in a different place totally, and it's going to require a lot of prayer and faith and courage. And there are all kinds of reasons why a lot of churches would just punt and decide, you know what, it's not worth the effort. We're just going to stay put. And I can tell you, all I can tell you is sometimes the best decisions that you can make is to go when it's easier to stay. And I am just so excited about what the future holds for this church and for all of you. And I'm going to be praying for all of you along the way and cheering you on and coming and visiting. And I hope that you do the same for me and Christy as we start our journey together. And the last thing I just want to say is this, and this is just from me personally, this is from our family, and that's, thank you. Thank you. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, you are our God. You're the one that we lean on in the times that are scary. You're the one that we trust in. And Father, I have a feeling that there are many in this room who've got dreams and passions and things that you've laid on their heart, and they need to go after it and pursue it. God, I know as a church, this body has got some great things coming up in its future. And Father, we pray that you would give them courage in the moments that they need it. I pray that you would give them the faith to trust in you when they need to. God, I pray that for those of us who are looking for the next thing or whatever that is and looking for the dream or trying to seek your passion, Father, that you would make that so evident, that you would give them the nudge, that little nudge that they need. Pray for some of us where we've just been living in the boat for our whole lives, God, that you would give us the right thing of a way to just step out of our comfort zone and away from our security a little bit. Oh God, thank you. I thank you that you exemplified that by sending your son Jesus Christ to this earth, the riskiest move in all of human history, to die the death that we deserved, to sacrifice your life, to be pierced on a cross so that we could be saved. We thank you for your love. It's in your son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.